One of the scripture lessons that's often used at Christmas time is an Old Testament prophecy from the prophet Isaiah. And he writes these words to his people. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us, and authority rests upon his shoulders. And he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, once again, we just thank you for this opportunity that we have to be here tonight and to celebrate the tremendous gift of your presence here with us, coming to us in a little baby, Jesus, lying in a manger. God, help us this day to hear your word for us, that we might go forth as your people in your world. All of this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Last night on the way home from church, we were here last night, and on the way home, down 105, if you go down 105 towards I-25, on the right-hand side, there's a Christmas light display that you can see from 105, even though it's down the block a ways. Someone has their house filled with lights. You don't happen to be here tonight, do you? It is a beautiful display that's just a wonderful thing to see. And so last night on our way home, because I like Christmas lights a lot, we detoured off of 105 and went down and passed the lights on the side of the road there and just were amazed at what happens. We try to do lights at our house. We have a couple of really small displays. You know, there's a strand across the garage. We have a lighted nativity on the porch and lighted candy canes hanging from a tree. But our neighbor across the street is really good. And so our display kind of pales in comparison to their life-size angels, you know, around the nativity. And one neighbor has lights that go on and off with music that softly plays there around the block. And it is a remarkable sight. But nobody I have seen yet has lights like this. Rock and roll Christmas lights. It's a pretty cool display. Now, when I was growing up, there was a guy in our neighborhood that was known for his Christmas lights. He had this flagpole in his yard, and he put this giant ring around it and connected lights from the ring to the top of the flagpole, and he made this giant Christmas tree. And he had Santa Claus on the roof, and he had all kinds of things that were in his yard, and it was close enough that we could walk by it whenever we wanted to. And that may be why I like Christmas lights so much. But they have come a long way. Lots of people think that the very first Christmas lights were done by Martin Luther, the reformer, in about the 1500s. The story is that on Christmas Eve, he went out and saw a tree that was frozen and glistening in the ice. You know that when you see those trees that are ice covered and they just sparkle? And he wanted to share that with the people around him. And so what he did was he brought a tree home. And to simulate the sparkle, he attached candles to the tree. Do not try this at home. Dead wood and fire, not a good idea. But this was the way it was done for lots of years until the 1880s when Thomas Edison decided that he could advertise his light bulb by decorating a tree. And pretty soon it caught on. And eventually the light bulbs became safety lights, and then they became mini lights, and then they became LEDs, and before you know it, you have rock and roll Christmas lights that can flash on and off when a computer tells them what to do. Lights and Christmas just kind of go together. And one of the reasons why lights and Christmas go together is because light has always been a symbol of the presence of God. If you go back to the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we learned that the earth was there, but it was formless and void, and it was chaos. And the very first thing that God creates is light. When God shows up, there's light. We know that too. We talk about that. Our children, when they're afraid, we put a nightlight in their room because somehow a little bit of light makes everything better. The monsters go away when there's light in their room. And we do it as adults as well. When we're confused and we don't know what life is doing to us, lots of times we'll say, we're in the dark about this. And that's not a good thing. Or if we're going through a period that's particularly trying, we say it's a dark time or our darkest hour. And when things start to get better, what do we say? I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Light. Light has been for a long time a symbol of hope, a symbol of the presence of God. That's what Isaiah is talking about in these verses that we looked at just a few minutes ago. His people have been attacked. They've been taken prisoner by the superpower of the day, Assyria. And it looks like there's no hope. And Isaiah says, but God is still with us. And so he writes it as if it had already happened when he says that the people who lived in darkness have seen a great light. On them, light has shined. He sees the light at the end of the tunnel. He sees the hope that is there. And he talks about the presence of God being in our midst, even when all the evidence seems to be to the contrary. But even in our darkest hour, God is with us. We have hope. And we symbolize that hope with light. The church is pretty good at that. For the last four Sundays, we've lit our Advent wreath, each Sunday lighting another candle on the wreath. For us this year, every one of the candles has been part of the story of one of the people who said yes to God to know that Jesus was coming. We talked about Mary and her willingness to say, yes, I will submit to you, God, and do what you want me to do. And we talked about Zechariah, John's father, who wasn't so sure that the angel knew what he was talking about, and he was not allowed to speak until John was born. We talked about Anna and Simeon, prophets that told Mary who Jesus was going to grow up to be. And we talked about the shepherds and the angels who sang their song praising God. And tonight, for the first time this year, the center candle is lit. The Christ candle that symbolizes Jesus' presence here among us in his birth. A light that shines in the darkness. Later on this evening, we're going to turn out all of the lights and give you all glow sticks. And we're going to light up and sing Silent Night. And remember that God is here with us because we have light. light that dispels the darkness, light that brings order out of the chaos. You know, one of the symbols that was used when Jesus was born to lead the wise men to the baby Jesus was a star. God's pretty clever. A light in darkness shows up to let the people know that this is the one. Follow the light. Follow the light in the midst of the darkness, and you will find peace and joy and comfort and hope. And the same is true for us today. We Christians, we don't deny the darkness. And we know we live in a dark world. We know that many of us here tonight have experienced darkness this year. The darkness of jobs hanging by a thread, or the darkness of unemployment, or the darkness of a broken relationship, or whatever darkness there is in your life. You felt it at some time this year. And Christmas, and all of the lights of Christmas, remind us that God is still with us. And one of the names that Jesus is given is Emmanuel, God with us, a light in the midst of darkness. See, the original Christmas light wasn't the candles that Luther hang on his tree. The original Christmas light was a baby that was born and laid in a manger, because there was no room for him in the house. That light that was testified to 700 years before it happened and still shines today 2,000 years later is what we celebrate tonight. The Gospel of John, the creative poetic writer John, tells us that when Jesus was born, he writes, "What has come into being in him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness," John writes, "and the darkness did not overcome it." The darkness cannot, will not, has not overcome the light of Christ. May you and I know that God is here with us. And may we share that light with the people around us. Oh, we know we don't deserve it, but God's given it to us anyway as a tremendous gift. And we have one more light display to show you.
Amazing in grace, how sweet the sounds they give, say.
By the amazing grace of God, you and I have been given a light that shines in our darkest hour. Merry Christmas. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we just thank you so much for that light that shines in us. And we pray tonight, oh God, that we might sense your presence here with us, not just in this time of worship, not just here in this sanctuary, But even as we go out from this place, through the holiday, through the vacation, and as we get back into the routine, God, remind us that you are always right there beside us. All of this we ask in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.